This is Brother Gino. Thank you for joining me for another broadcast of the Pastor's Study. Last time that we were together, we were discussing the contrast between God and man, the contrast between God and man. And the basis of our lesson, we were looking at the passage found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verses 1 through 16. And in that chapter, or passage rather, we saw that the Apostle Paul contrasts, last time we saw it, the words of men and the words of God. And then we saw that the Apostle Paul contrasts the wisdom of men and the wisdom of God. And now what we want to do today is pick up on our lesson. And first of all, we're going to look at, as Paul the Apostle contrasts the spirit of men and the spirit of God. Now over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 11, the word of God says about a man knoweth the things of a man. By the spirit of man that is in him. So the spirit of man can give you discernment about another man. However, it is limited in that it cannot give you discernment about the things of God. Like the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Amen. God, so that we might know the things he has given us freely, has given us, amen, the Spirit has given us not the spirit of the world. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So God, so that we might know the things that he has freely given us, has not given us the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Amen. If he had not given us his Spirit, we could never know these things. Turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John with me. Now, the Gospel of John, we want to see the Gospel of John, chapter 14. And notice what Jesus says in verse 16 through 17. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, and even the Spirit of truth. So the other comforter, another comforter that Jesus has promised his disciples and has promised you and I, is the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit. And the promise is that that Holy Spirit, that Spirit of truth, will abide with you and I forever. Verse 17 of John 14, even the Spirit of truth, whom, now listen, the world cannot receive. And why is that? Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So before the Lord left this earth, he promised the disciples and he promised all believers that he would give us another comforter that would abide with us forever, the Spirit of truth, another name for the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit would dwell in you and I and be right inside of us, would dwell with us. Amen. Now we want to continue our lesson here, and the Apostle Paul goes on in our passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 16, and he contrasts the natural man and the spiritual man. Now notice what the words of God say here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 with me. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Amen. So we see the natural man receiveth not the spiritual God. Now, I can remember a time when I was not saved. Amen. And I did have a Bible, and I read it occasionally, but couldn't understand it. It was like reading another piece of literature. And why was that? Because I was not saved. I did not have the Holy Spirit of God. So I could not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Amen. But what a difference. After I became born again, and I have the Spirit of God, the very author of the Holy Bible. Wow, did things change. A new world was open to me. I could receive the things of God because I had the Spirit of God. So a natural man who tries to understand the spiritual things of God finds that they are foolishness to him. We go on and we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So that goes on and tells us the natural man considers the things of God foolishness. Amen. Now think about it. The things of God, going to church, praying, reading scripture, amen, witnessing. All of these things come from the Spirit of God inside of us. But the spirit of man would say, why are you doing that? That's foolishness. Why are you bothering other people? Why are you trying to proselytize? Why are you trying to shove your religion down their throat? See? Because they don't have a spirit of God in them. They have a spirit of man. As a matter of fact, when the natural men try to deal with spiritual things through their religion, they always include an element of works in self-righteousness as a means of finding acceptance with God. Guess what? And they're wrong every time. See? Men's religion comes from the spirit of men, not from the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God tells us clearly that there's nothing you and I can do to save ourselves, to make ourselves righteous, to be acceptable in the eyes of a holy God, a righteous God, a just God, a merciful God. No. The Spirit of God tells us the only way that we can be right with God is through belief and faith in what Jesus Christ did at Calvary's cross by shedding his precious blood to pay for the sins of all mankind. Amen. And it's only acceptance of what Christ did for us to pay the penalty for us, to keep us from going to hell. When God did that, God's grace, he gave us something that you and I didn't deserve, and that was salvation through the shed blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? That's God's grace. And because of God's grace, we have God's mercy. And what is God's mercy? Well, you and I deserve to be burning in hell right day, right now, this day. We didn't get something we deserve. That's God's mercy. Amen. It's foolish to the natural man to believe that God will accept him by faith in Christ's work alone. How many times have you dealt with someone about their salvation? And they'll go on and they'll say, when you say to them, are you saved? Or you know when you die, you go to heaven? And they list a number of things. I've been baptized. I belong to such and such a church. I give to the church. I'm charitable. I've never murdered anyone. I've never stole. Amen. I've never committed adultery. And they go on and on and on and on. See? They don't want to believe that acceptance by faith in Christ's work alone is what saves them, that makes them right with God. They don't want to believe that because the spirit of man cannot discern the spirit of the things of God because they don't have the spirit of God. Amen. See? So instead, what does man do? Instead of, he thinks it's foolish, the natural man, to believe that God will accept him by faith in Christ's work alone. Instead, what does he do? He devises religions of idolatry and sacrifice. Amen? Look at Romans chapter 1, verses 21 to 25. Romans 1, 21 to 25. Paul addresses this. He says, because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. See? When the natural man knew God, he knew him. Amen. He knew God created everything. But what? He chose not to glorify God or be thankful for God, but became vain in their imagination. Amen. And their foolish hearts were darkened. And instead of accepting God and glorifying him when they knew him, when their conscience told them, you know, about God, they decided in vain, vain means worthless, in their imagination, you know, they came up with something else, in other words, to replace God. And as a result of their heart is foolish for doing that, what happens? They were darkened. Instead of getting light, they got darkness. What did they do? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Why did they become fools? Because they chose the wisdom of man over the wisdom of God. In the wisdom of man is foolishness with God, the Bible tells us. They go even further. And what did they do? And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. Amen. They set up their own images into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. See? They made images of things that you could see, corruptible things. They made images of birds and beasts and things that creep. And those are the things they worshipped instead of God. Wherefore, because of this, because they did this, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between them, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who was blessed forever. Amen. We have the group. The example of this is, this group will say, save the whales, save the mantis, but don't save the baby in the womb. Yes, they're worshiping the creature. Amen. More than the creator. That's what men do. Instead of accepting, the natural man thinks it's foolish to believe that God will accept him by faith in Christ's work alone. Instead, they devise religions of idolatry and sacrifice. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. What say I then? That the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should fellowship with devils. So, when the natural man offers sacrifice to idols, to his false religion, amen, he's sacrificing to the devil himself, amen. And Paul warns, I don't want you as believers to have anything to do with these folks, amen. Now, hence, Paul was concerned that who was preaching among the Corinthians might corrupt them from the simplicity that is in Christ. Amen. The simplicity that is in Christ. That a man is saved, man, woman, boy, or girl is saved, is made right with God, if they'll accept him by faith, what God had done by God's son did at Calvary, by Christ's work alone. Faith in Christ's work alone is the simplicity in Christ. But there were those that were coming among the Corinthians preaching all this other religious nonsense. You've got to do this, you've got to do that. It can't be just simple faith in Christ's work alone. So Paul was concerned that these folks that have come in would corrupt the believers at Corinthian. Now, we're told in our passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, that the things of God are spiritually discerned. Unless you have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit indwelling you as a believer, you cannot discern, understand the things of God. Why? They must be revealed to you by the Spirit through the words of God. Amen? Now, notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, we read this, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. That is how a spiritual man judgeth all things, by the Spirit. See? But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, because he has spiritual discernment. He has the indwelling Holy Spirit. How does he judge? How does the spiritual man judge? Well, he judges by the words of God. Amen. He judges by the words of Almighty God. Look at it in John's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 24. We read this, Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So how does a spiritual man judge? He judges by the words of God. And he himself, the spiritual man himself, is judged by the words of God. Notice John chapter 12, verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So the spiritual man judges all things by the words of God, and he himself is judged by the same words of God. Now notice what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 16, we read this, For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Makes sense, doesn't it? A spiritual man has the mind of Christ. Amen. In other words, the spiritual man will think like Christ would think, would have the discernment that Christ had, to judge all things the way Christ did. Amen. Over in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, Paul tells the Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Amen. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. And we see before that in Philippians chapter 2, Paul tells them, beginning in verse 1 of Philippians 2, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye might be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. See, this is the mind of Christ. Being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. So here, in the prior verses to verse 5 of Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, that we have the mind of Christ, he describes that mind. Like-minded, the same love. The same love. Love for God, as Jesus loved the Father. Amen. Being of one accord. Amen. You should be of one accord. You all have the indwelling Holy Spirit. You all have the words of God. Of one mind. You're going to have one mind, amen, if you have one love and you're like-minded, amen, and your final authority is the word of God, amen. And then also the mind of Christ was, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Christ didn't do things through strife or try to bring glory to himself, which was worthless. He always brought glory to the Father, his Father. But in lowliness of mind, you'd be humble as Christ was, let each esteem others better than themselves. Christ put himself before others. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Again, concern for others instead of yourself. All of these are characteristics of the mind of Christ. And that's what the spiritual man will have, is the mind of Christ. Now, we don't instruct the Lord. Amen? No, we don't. In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 13 and 14, we read this. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the paths of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? No, we don't instruct the Lord. He instructs us. And when we come to him with a humble mind and a believing heart, then, and only then, will we receive God's instructions. So clearly in our lesson, amen, Paul here in our passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 16, he contrasts between God and man. The words of men and the words of God. Amen. See, there is a difference. It's spiritually discerned, is it not? What a difference when you pick up any other piece of literature that's not inspired by God, amen, and then you pick up the Holy Bible, amen, and you as a believer have the author of the Bible in your heart, the Spirit of God, and you read it. Wow, the words are powerful, are they not? They speak to us. They convict us. They show us right where we're right and wrong and what we need to do. They correct us. Amen? And the Holy Ghost will teach us, amen, what God's words mean. And God's words, unlike the words of men, are beneficial and profitable and give life. And then Paul went on and he compared the wisdom of men and the wisdom of God. Amen. What a difference. Amen. All the wisdom of God, all the inventions of man, all the medical advances, guess what? Man still dies. Amen. God's wisdom trumps man's wisdom over and over again. And then he contrasts the spirit of man and the spirit of God. Amen. Thank God, as believers, we have the dwelling and indwelling Holy Spirit that knoweth the things of God. The spirit of man knoweth the things of man, but cannot know the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. Amen. So thank God for the blessings that you and I have. Amen. That we have, as you're a believer, you're a spiritual man, you have the words of God, the wisdom of God, and the Spirit of God. Amen. It's all the time we have today on the Pastor Study. This is Brother Gino saying thank you for joining me. May God richly bless you, is my prayer, and good day.